The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
On this episode of Rev Litter, I welcome Jenny Mann from Blameshift. I'll also cover the NCAA championship game, the Basketball Hall of Fame inductees, top movies at the box office, Nutella Thieves, and This Week in Music History. All this and more on Rev Litter, happening now.
Enjoy the show.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Revelator. I'm your host, Ryan, and I have got a great show for you. Jenny Mann from Blameshift will be joining us here in a little bit, so definitely stick around for that. We're going to talk with her. We're going to talk about their new album and play some tracks off their previous album as well. So you're not going to want to miss that. It's going to be a really, really great time. And I've got some really interesting stories for you, but you know what? You know how I always enjoy these funny stories, you know, and we've got a couple tonight, and this one, you know, I read it, and I had to read it a couple times. I look at, you know, and the title is "The Founder of Extreme Kidnapping." And I was like, wait a second, I gotta read that. I read the title several times. I'm looking at it, and mind you, I always talk about, you know, I shouldn't write these stories really late at night. So I tried last week, you know, from, you know, some of the stories that we did, I was like, you know what, let's do some afternoon reading, right? And I come across Extreme Kidnapping, of course, for afternoon reading. So I see this title. And this is a legitimate business based out of Detroit, Michigan. And, you know, I kind of do one of those, what? Extreme kidnapping? So this service caters to extreme sports adventurers who are bored with just their current availability. This takes to a whole new level, says entrepreneur Adam Thicke, also known as the rapper Mr. Skrillion. I can't say that I've ever heard Mr. Skrillion's music. I'm not a big rap fan by any means, but Adam Thicke, I don't know if he's related to Robert Thicke from Growing Pains or not, but that remains to be seen. Now, I guess if you're bored with, you know, your day job and, you know, bungee jumping and those type of things, I guess extreme kidnapping is the way to go. Thicke categorizes the abduction unlike an old-fashioned kidnapping. I don't know what an old-fashioned kidnapping would be classified as in this situation, but the extreme therapy hostage has the ability to call out the goons and abort the torture at any moment by uttering a pre-selected safe word. So... oh, you know what's even better? As a memento for your extreme kidnapping, you also get a video as well. You know, you imagine showing that to the family around Thanksgiving. Hey, honey, pull off that extreme kidnapping thing we did a couple years ago. Now, they have this advertisement, and I had to play it. I don't know, maybe they'll eventually sponsor the show. I don't know. I mean, Revelator, brought to you by Extreme Kidnapping.
Are you bored with bungee jumping, skydiving, and fast cars? Looking to take it to the next level? Introducing ExtremeKidnapping.com, the most controversial new form of extreme entertainment specializing in creating the most realistic kidnapping scenarios around. Customize your very own kidnapping and have full input on the design. How hardcore do you want it? Do you have what it takes? Then contact ExtremeKidnapping.com today for your free, no-obligation consultation. The possibilities are endless if you're without fear. ExtremeKidnapping.com.
Time for your kidnapping!
It's the experience of a lifetime. There you go. It's an experience of a lifetime. You know what? If you don't feel like your life's in danger, we're not doing our job. Extreme kidnapping. Moving on tonight, egg crushing. A freshman at the University of Georgia Institute of Technology cracked the Guinness World Record for most crushed eggs with his head. He smashed 142 eggs in 1 minute. Scott Damrow of Corpus Christi, Texas, appeared on True TV's Guinness World Records Gone Wild when he crushed the previous record of 130 eggs. He crushed 142 eggs with his head. He said afterwards, it was the adrenaline. It really just got to me. I didn't even notice that I had cut my head on the eggshells. You can't make this stuff up. This guy crushed 142 eggs with his head, is in the Guinness World. They have a Guinness World Record for just about anything, but we did learn several weeks ago they do not have a Guinness World Record for vagina weightlifting. We need to get on that. This is an interesting story coming out of Berlin, Germany. These thieves, I don't know what anybody would do with 5 metric tons of Nutella chocolate hazel spread, but these guys apparently have stolen 5 metric tons of Nutella from a town in central Germany. Over the weekend, the gooey loot is estimated at $20,000. Unbelievable. German authorities have no reports or leads to the capture of the men who actually stole 5 metric tons of Nutella, but they do believe that is related to someone who stole a whole truckload full of energy drinks from the same location. I have an idea for that location at that warehouse. Get better security, okay? Cash, credit, weed? Why not, right? Hey, this guy in Philadelphia, short on cash, learned the hard way that, you know, when you need to pay your cab fare, apparently most cabbies will not take marijuana. Now, I came to this surprise. I've been in a couple cabs, and, I'm pretty sure some of those guys would have taken a bag of weed, you know, if I had a bag of weed on me, but I didn't at the time, I guess. So this guy, 23 years old, Michael Medvick, right in front of police officers when he was getting dropped off, was out of the cab trying to talk the cab driver into taking a bag of weed for his fare. Of course, the cab driver is declining, like, dude, there's cops right behind you. Obviously, they ended up arresting him, and now he's going to obviously face possession charges and distribution of marijuana. So, not the brightest thing you could possibly do there. I guess the dude abides. You know, Jeff Lebowski would be pretty proud of this guy. Moving on, the top movies at the box office this week. Number 10, working our way up, the movie Admission at 2.5 million, the movie The Call at 3.5 million, The Host 5.24 million, Oz the Great and Powerful at 8.17 million. And I'm always shocked when I see Tyler Perry on the top 10 movie list. Tyler Perry's Temptation, $10 million. The fact that it's been out in theater for 2 weeks and has made almost $40 million, the Tyler Perry movie, I've seen the same trailers you have, okay? So I'm always shocked when I see Tyler Perry movies in the top 10 of the box office. Olympus Has Fallen, coming in at $10 million this week. And Jurassic Park 3D opening up. I remember Jurassic Park. Maybe I'm showing my age here a little bit. I remember when Jurassic Park was in theater the first time around. So Jurassic Park 3D, $18.25 million its opening weekend. The movie The Croods at $21 million. G.I. Joe Retaliation moved off the number one spot with $21.1 million. And the number one movie at the box office this week is Evil Dead at $26 million. Now, credit to G.I. Joe Retaliation for making almost $87 million in its first 2 weekends at the box office. And also, let's take a look at an American journalist, film critic, screenwriter, Roger Ebert, who had passed away. He used to work at the Chicago Sun-Times in 1967 until his death this past Thursday. Now, in 1975, he was the first film critic to win a Pulitzer Prize for criticism. Man, I don't know if I can get in on that, Mike. I want to get in a Pulitzer Prize for criticism. I don't know how you get in on that, but I want to get in on that. And it also was given the award in 2010 as well. His reviews were syndicated for more than 200 newspapers in the United States and abroad. Ebert was published more than 20 books and over a dozen collections of reviews as well. In 2005, Ebert became the first film critic to receive a star on the Hollywood Walk of Shame. He finally passed away due to his battle with cancer at the age of 70 this past Thursday. Now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the moment you've all been waiting for, coming to the Revelator Show at this time on Omnis.tv, hailing from Long Island, New York, Jenny Mann from Blame Shift.
Wow, that was the best introduction I've ever gotten, I'm not going to lie, on any interview I've ever done.
Awesome. Well, I take pleasure in our Unbuffer, and Michael Buffer better watch that. I'm telling you, I'm going to be doing prize fights one of these days in Vegas. But Jenny, thanks for taking the time out and talking with us. I know you said you were at the gym working out, getting ready for your tour. You guys got an album coming out as well. I mean, you're busy, busy, busy all the time. Talk to me about the summer release of the new album, I believe. John from Digital Summer, who we had on a couple weeks ago, I wanted to know if you would tell us your secrets.
Oh, John, love that kid. He's a good guy. We had a lot of fun this summer. We toured it in a 4-band package. It was us, Digital Summer, a band Throwing Gravity from Nashville, and 12 Stones. And we had a lot of good times. But yeah, the title track off the new record is called Secrets. The album is called Secrets. And as John knows, the lyric from the chorus of that song is "Tell me all your secrets." So John, every night, would come to the front of the stage and sing with us, and we would embarrass him, and he would embarrass us, and it was good times.
Well, I'm sure it was a great tour with those guys. I mean, talking with John and those guys from Digital Summer, really cool dudes. So I imagine that was one heck of a tour. Had a lot of fun. Now, talking about this album, Secrets, which is going to come out sometime this summer, I believe. Talk to me about working on this album, what challenges you guys faced in the studio.
You know what? Being in the studio is just, it's completely and utterly different than every, you know, the day-to-day, the touring and, you know, just the day-to-day band stuff that we do. It's like putting yourself in a completely different element, and it's a lot of work. And for me, it's like, I need to be like, I'm not one of those people that can do both. Like when I'm in the studio, it's just studio. Even when we record out in LA, and many times my bandmates, you know, they'll say, hey, let's book a show, you know, mid recording session, you know, like if we're out there for a month, like, you know, let's do a show with the Roxy or wherever, we're in Hollywood. And I'm like, no, I'm straight focused. And for me, it's like, I have to use a certain part of my brain to be in the studio. It's really intense. And I guess also for me, being the songwriter, you know, it's really emotional. You know, like, it's not just let's create a story and write about something that, you know, a made up story. It's like, this is real stuff. And we dig really deep, especially on this record. Every lyric to every song hits home for me. And it's taken a lot to be able to get to that place where I can be really honest like that, because it's hard and it's scary, you know. But it's a lot of work. It's a lot of like just emotions, but the reward is just unbelievable.
I understand where you're coming from there lyrically. I do a little writing on the side as well. And, sometimes it's just a matter of coming to that point when you write something down, you're like, man, I want to share this, but it's kind of that vulnerability factor as well. And is that something you've struggled with since you've been in the band, just trying to, you know, writing something down, you present the lyrics to the guys in the band, and they're like, hey, I don't know if I want to share this or not, or.
Well, you know, luckily my bandmates they kind of give me the freedom to express what I want in the songs, you know, lyrically, which has been really great for me. Like never have any of them said, or our producer, Eric, Ron, that maybe this isn't something you want to tell people. Like they're very, you know, open, and Eric really pushes me as an artist and as a singer and as a songwriter to be vulnerable like that, because that's really what connects to people, you know, like telling them your story and having people be able to connect to it and say, oh, I've been through that too, you know, and being honest. So, they're all very supportive, and, you know, just like with them, I trust them that they're going to do the right thing when it comes to like writing the guitar parts, writing the bass parts and the drum, you know, and they trust me in, you know, my role. So it's a nice balance.
Right on. No, it's good to have that that give and take, and have, you know, that freedom, I think, you know, especially musically and creatively as well. Now, you mentioned Eric Ron. You're working with him on the new album. Now, he's worked with some bands, you know, Good Charlotte, I think, Panic at the Disco, a couple other ones as well, that have had, you know, some pretty good success. I mean, what is it like working with him on this record as compared to, you know, the last record you guys did?
Well, actually, Eric did our last record as well. Rose as well. We actually met him randomly through an old manager that we used to have that turned out to be, I don't know if I can swear on this
yeah, go ahead.
Show,
go ahead.
But yeah, it turned out to be a D-bag. I'll try to be feminine.
He was a douchebag. I'll say it. He was a douchebag. I'll say it for you. You know, a lot of times I don't even like to say douchebag. I say, you're not even a douchebag. You're just the nozzle. Right. Go ahead. Sorry.
I know. I do a lot of radio on air where I never know if I always have to watch my mouth. So, but anyway, our old managers actually hooked us up with Eric, which is the only thing that they ever did for us. But it was the best thing that happened to us in our music career. And I tell Eric that, like, I don't want to blow your head up, but you know, meeting him to me changed our path, because he is just our fifth member. He's just, like our guy. He's our best friend, our mentor, you know, and he's such a talented guy. He's young. He's only 27 years old. I mean, he's done some some great records, and he is so talented. He has a huge career ahead of him, and we're really excited to have like met him kind of at the beginning. But he's like really inspired us so much with just his focus and his belief in what we do, and it's been awesome. And like, yeah, like, I mean, he worked on the Used record, not the last record they put out, but the one before that. And like, he did all the, like, the programming on it and everything. And he had all those in his sound bank, and we have a lot of those on our last on the Black Rose. Like, it's just really cool. Like, he's done some records that are like some of my favorite records. So, and you know, and along with that, he's like our best friend. Like, we go to when we're out in LA recording, when we're done, we go to Vegas and party and have fun. And it's just like, it's a great relationship.
Very cool. I think it's good to have a relationship, especially with a producer and someone that you trust, you know, kind of has your best interest at heart. Not even, you know, just musically, but also personally as well. Now, you mentioned Vegas. What's your game in Vegas? What do you like to play out there?
I like to play the drinking game, where you just drink the entire night and just roam the streets. No, I'm not really a gambler because you know what? And most of the times I've gone out to Vegas, I've been with the band, and it's not like we have, like, you know, endless money to kind of like be big rollers or anything. But you know, what we do, it's like the little band trick. And even when we go to casinos, like randomly in Pennsylvania or wherever, we do the old sit at the penny slots and just get free drinks, because it works and it's awesome. Like, we'll just sit there all night long playing pennies and getting free drinks. We're like, we're geniuses.
We would get along great, because I do the same thing.
Roulette would be my game. If I had money to throw down, it'd be roulette.
Yeah, I was same way. Roulette. I've won. The thing about roulette is you can win a lot of money at roulette, and you can lose a lot of money real fast at roulette. But no, the penny slot thing is definitely my deal. That's after I lose most of my money at the roulette table. I just go to the penny slots. I'm like, keep the vodka cranberries coming. You know,
exactly.
Hold the cranberry.
The funniest thing that we also picked up. We have a lot of like little things that we've picked up over the years, like little like tidbits of information about touring that like. Just like make it affordable. Like, we have all these little things, which we can get into later. But what we usually do, our drummer Nate discovered this, is like going over to slot machines, and so a lot of people forget to take their how they do the thing, they print out like a little like slip, and you know, you can go and then you put it in the next one. But a lot of people either forget to take it, or they leave like some money left in the machine. So we'll go around and try to find the machines that have money still left in it. And like, we've actually won a lot of money doing that. I know it sounds like really strange, but yeah, we do that all the time. It's hilarious.
No, that's great. I mean, that's, that, you know, when you're in your Vegas, you got to take every opportunity to gamble on someone else's money, especially. Right. So yeah. So that's definitely thrifty gambling is definitely a good way to go. Now, I'll kind of shift gears on you here a little bit, Jenny. Now, as a female fronted band, as a female singer, I'm curious about what are some of your musical influences, you know, one musically and also as a vocalist?
Well, you know, I grew up, and like I say this in every interview, I'm not afraid to tell people that I grew up in theater. I did theater my entire life. And you know, that's kind of like where I draw my inspiration from, because that's just what I did growing up. Like, you know, some people lock themselves in their room playing guitar and, you know, playing along to, you know, like the classics. But I did shows, and I was always doing a show, whether it's like, you know, The Sound of Music or Annie, you know, every show I've done. And I'm not afraid to tell people, because that's where I came from. But once I really got into rock and roll music, I think like Smashing Pumpkins was like my, like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, that's rock and roll. You know what I mean? Like, that was like when it first hit me. And I really was a huge fan of Alanis Morissette. As far as females in the rock genre, to me, she's like a rock star, just vocally and just like the songs that she writes, and just how like badass she is, you know? And then like, as I got, you know, older, Incubus was huge. Brandon Boyd. I'm a very big Taking Back Sunday fan. I'm a very big Used fan, and Muse. And, I would say more, I've had more male singers as, inspiration more than female. It's kind of weird, but for me at least.
No, I think that's a pretty neglected group there. But you know, you I ask you, Smashing Pumpkins, and I was a fan of the Pumpkins, a lot of their earlier records. What's your favorite album from them?
Whatever album, you know, I don't even know, because when I was young, like one of my first boyfriends played me Tonight Tonight, and what album was that?
Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness.
Yeah, right. And I was like, oh my God, like that's, and before that for me, I was just like a theater, you know, a little theater girl. And that's like, you know, I didn't really, and I listened to like, you know, pop, you know, top four, whatever was on the radio kind of thing. And then that was for me, like, this is like rock and roll. You know what I mean? Like, what have sure. I been missing kind of thing? One of those. So, yeah, so that record, I guess.
Yeah, a very good record. The crazy thing is, I remember, you know, that record is coming up on being almost 20 years old, which is the crazy thing, you know. But anyway, I tell you what, let's the first track we're going to hear tonight is the track "Killing Me." Now, I want to talk. You know, you mentioned earlier, you know, lyrically, you know, kind of putting, you know, your heart and soul into your lyrics. I can't help but listening to this song a couple times doing the show notes today and hearing it prior to that. Obviously a pretty deep meaning. I dare ask who or what this may be about.
This song, it's a very personal. I've never actually said what it's about, but it's a story. It's something that happened to me in my life, but I've never said about who it is because it's like too close. I haven't revealed it. It's family, so I won't. But also, at the same time, when we wrote that song, our bass player at the time helped me with those lyrics because it was really deep for me and for this exact situation I wrote it about. And he had a similar situation. With his mom being a drug addict, and it's about addiction. That's what I wrote it about. A lot of people have taken it different ways, but it's about losing someone to addiction. Not exactly losing them, but trying to tell them that what they're doing is hurting you as well as them, but that you're there for them, and you know, and you want them to get better and be better. So. But it's deep. It's really deep.
Right on. Well said. I'll tell you what. Let's take a quick break. We'll jam this song as "Killing Me" by Blame Shift here on Revelator.
Do this again. I said you too.
Blame Shift with Killing Me here on Revelator, talking with Jenny Mann from the band Blame Shift. Jenny, really great track. I really dig it. Now, you know, you can definitely feel that, you know, the energy and the passion in that song. I think musically and lyrically, I think it speaks for itself. Now, I want to talk to you, kind of gearing back again to the new album, Secrets, and also talk to me about, you know, the challenges that you guys face, you know, working with the producer. I mean, you know, on the previous album, you guys actually were kind of backed and really the fans kind of came out and were like, hey man, we want you guys to do the Black Rose CD, you know, kind of talk to me about the fan support and your fans and how you know, on the road as well, how supportive they've been of you guys.
Oh, it's just incredible. And like every day I remind myself to be thankful for that, because as an independent band, we rely so heavily on our fans, and they rely on us as well. It's like this really great family that we built, and a lot of the independent bands and even the bigger bands now with social networking, have been able to get more, you know, closer to their fans and stuff like that, and have more of a personal relationship. But for us, like, we really, like, kind of built it from the ground up. I mean, and I can say that, like, we've done it like the grassroots way, you know, from touring on our own, booking our own tours for, I mean, the first 7 or 8 tours we did were booked on our own. I mean, fully booked on our own. And the fans that support us are like those fans that want to be with you from the beginning. And they're not the ones that are listening to, you know, top 40, like, to the bands that are already getting millions of dollars thrown into them. They're the bands that want to start with you at the ground and grow with you. And like, they've just been so supportive of us. Like, anytime we've needed them, they've been there. And hopefully we give them something back that makes the relationship, you know, a two-way street. So, but our fans are amazing. Like, I love them.
Well, that's one thing, one of the reasons I was drawn to you guys, and a lot of the bands we've had on the show, one of the reasons we're drawn to a lot of them is because, you know, you guys aren't assembled, you guys aren't, you know, studio musicians put together to make a, you know, to sell a million records or anything. You guys are out there hitting the road, you know, cutting your teeth, playing shows, show after show, touring, hitting the road, doing it the old school way. And right. We appreciate that, and that's one of the reasons we do the show that we're doing now. But, you know, being on the road, I imagine you got a lot of stories from the road, and this is probably a question you get a lot, I would assume. What is, you know, maybe the coolest or strangest thing you've seen during your travels?
Well, I was going to tell you about a funny tour story from the summer, the 12 Stones Digital Summer Throwing Gravity Tour, but I prefaced it by saying that usually our tour pranks that we do consist of things like stealing our tour mate's van and parking it down the road so when they get out of the show, it's not there anymore. Stuff like that, nice. Which we've done a couple times. But the best thing that's happened lately on any tour prank was at the last night of the 12 Stones tour. I had all the guys and all the bands, my band, Throwing Gravity and Digital Summer, dress up in my clothes and go out onto stage in the middle of one of their songs. Mid-song, 12 guys get on stage in bras, underwear, skirts, bathing suits, booty shorts,
nice.
Wigs. I mean, we found some wigs too. I mean, it was the whole nine yards, and it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. The best part is that all the guys fit into my clothes, and I'm 5 feet tall, little girl, and these guys were. My drummer was wearing one of my skirts. And it looked better, and like a bra, and it looked better on him than it does on me. And I was like,
I doubt that, but.
But it was good. There's pictures and video to prove it all over the internet. So
awesome. All right, cool. No, that's good. I would not fit in your clothes. I'm a big dude. So I'm 6'4", like 260. So there's no mini skirt or bra and panties you have that would get around maybe one of my legs. So
that's a good thing, actually.
Now, also, you know, being on the road, being on tour, is there places or cities that you've been to that you want to visit again? Are there places that you haven't been to that you want to get out to this summer on tour?
What about places that I've been to that I never want to go again? That wasn't one of your.
Yeah, we could do that too. Yeah, we're places that are just god awful. You have no business. You're like, I do not want to go to that town. Like, it's just, you know, like Deliverance in that place.
But you know what? You know what's like the funniest thing about tours? We could go to a town. We're there for one day, which that's not even 24 hours. Usually we get there like 4 o'clock for load in. We play the show in that town and we leave the next morning. But then we could judge an entire town on those few hours and be like, I either love that town or hate that town, which is the funniest thing because obviously. You really have no way to judge it based on that amount of time, but every band does it. And it's like one of the funniest things, like, oh, I hate, like, we're always like, oh, I hate Washington DC. Cause we played one show there that just was shitty. Like just, first of all, it was like a underground punk show. It was like a couple of years ago. And it was just like in like the really ghetto part of DC. And we're like, oh, we hate DC. Meanwhile, like everyone's like, what are you talking about? DC's great, you know, like great for shows. It's just like you judge a place off of one experience, obviously, because that's what we have to go off of. But the only place that I in this country, besides, I'm not a huge DC fan, but I'm gonna give it another shot. I decided recently, but Stockton, California. If you're ever driving through there, just drive faster. And yeah, it actually we were on tour with our good friends Evelov. They're based out of Los Angeles, and we did a West Coast tour with them last year. And after a show, which was in this like little like abandoned warehouse, like people came out to it. We were like, we're gonna get killed here, you know. But like it was like it was actually a really fun show. People were really nice. We go to Denny's afterwards. We're eating. And we heard that the town is. A dangerous town, you know. We'd heard stories, so you know, we went to Denny's afterwards and we're like, let's park their van. We parked both of their van and our bus right outside the window where we were sitting, where there was like 10 of us, you know, so we could keep an eye on it. Somehow, while we were sitting there eating and just hanging out, someone managed to break in, steal every laptop, every iPad, iPod, everything from the van. Their van, not ours. Theirs.
Ouch.
So they came out, you know, to get in. We're ready to go to the next town, and they have nothing. So it was like trying to get the cops to do anything in that town. The cops are scared of like the people, like the gangs and everything in that town. Wow. So like the cops don't want to do anything, especially for like a bunch of out of towners, you know. So they ended up tracking their iPad. You know that program on iPhone where you can track the – do you know about that? You can track your iPhone and your iPad? Yeah. Craziest thing. They tracked their iPad to, like, this location, which obviously they could have been killed, you know. And they saw – they were, like, tracking it. They saw it actually, like, jump locations. And what happened was somebody, I guess, whoever had it, threw it, like, into their backyard. Like, so that they wouldn't be caught with it. I guess they heard sirens or something. And they went into the backyard of this person's house. God only knows who they were. And found the iPad.
Wow. Lucky.
They didn't get anything else back. They got the iPad back, though. But,
wow.
It was, we're like, to anybody, like, don't go to Stockton. But, you know, it's like, really, honestly, probably fine. You know, I guess it could have happened in any town. Like, our friends this summer got their van stolen in San Antonio. So, like, I guess, you know, it could happen anywhere. But it's, like, that's a crazy thing about being an abandoned, like, touring around in a bus or a van. Like, you're just, like, a target, you know, because everyone knows what you are, what you have inside, you know. But...
Yeah, I imagine that's obviously the downside of touring and, you know, traveling the country. And, you know, I think every, you know, place, you know, whether it be D.C. or Stockton, which I definitely will drive through if I'm ever there, you know, I guess you have that a little bit, you know, everywhere. And, you know, just the downside of the ugliness of people, unfortunately. And maybe you probably, unfortunately, maybe see that more than most being on the road all the time. And it's sad that people are, you know, that ugly and spiteful about just, you know, just wanting to vandalize and ruin something good just because they don't have anything good in their lives, you know. But moving on.
On the other hand, though, like, we've been through so many towns where the people are so, like, giving, they'll give you the shirt off their back of the last piece of food they have in their house and invite you into their homes. Like, no, like complete strangers that'll invite us into their homes and treat us like family. Like, that's like the upside of touring. That's like why we do it, for experiences like that. And we have them all the time and they're amazing. Like, some of our favorite places, like Fayetteville, North Carolina, it's like a second home to us. Like, everyone there is just like our family. And, you know, there's just places like spread out around the country, St. Louis, a lot of different places in Illinois, Michigan. But, you know, that's the upside of being on the road.
Right on. Well, I'll tell you what, if you guys are in the Nashville area again, you're more than welcome to, you know, swing by my place here with my wife and I. We'll hang out and drink some beers and, you know, shoot some hoops in the driveway and have a fire out in the backyard and stuff. You guys are more than welcome. So.
Don't, you can't take that back now. You know,
no, I won't take it back either. My wife is a fabulous cook, so I'm sure she would be more than happy to have you guys hang out, and we're more than welcome. We'd appreciate that. That'd be really cool.
That'd be awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, not a problem. But I tell you what, moving on tonight, the next song we have is the song Ghost, which I really dig this song, and also you guys have a video for as well. Again, this is another track off the Black Rose album. Talk to me about, you know, recording this video. It looks like it was pretty fun to record. Do you like doing videos?
I do. It's another whole, you know, different aspect of being in a band is, you know, you have to all of a sudden be an actress or an actor, which is, you know, not necessarily anyone's forte. It's definitely not mine. Although back in the day I thought I was, like, when I did theater, but of course I was much better at the singing and dancing part. But yeah, it's fun. You know, with this video, everyone in that video is a fan. We put a thing out on our Facebook to like an open call to fans to come down and be in the video. And we took as many people as we could that, you know, to fit in the video. And so those are all fans, everybody in that video. So that made it really special. And it was really fun. We shot it in Brooklyn. The director, Jay Sansone, he's amazing. He's gone on to do some really awesome things after that. That was only his second music video, but he works for Essence Magazine and he's just incredible. He did a live, feed from Bonnaroo, this summer. And, he's probably going to be like doing it every year now. Like, he's just a really good filmmaker. And, so this was experimental for him. But it was for us also. This is our first music video, and we're very proud of it. And we have actually a new one that we shot in Kentucky back in September for the song Secrets. We're so excited for that to come out because it's going to be awesome. We shot it in a really old abandoned house that supposedly was on Ghost Hunters and stuff like that, and it was really fun.
Awesome. Well, tell you what, Jenny, let's take another quick break here and we'll jam out Ghost here on Revelator.
We took this song together. We couldn't win alone. It's hard to change directions. It's all we know. We've seen the good and we've seen the bad. We've waged a war on everything we had. And we'll be right back.
Blame Shift with Ghost here on Revelator, talking with Jenny Mann from Blame Shift. And I believe Tim, the guitar player, will be joining us here in a moment. Now, Jenny, you know, we talked about, you know, touring and, you know, tour bus. You guys just recently got, I believe, a new tour bus and like a shuttle bus. Your guitar player, Tim, has done some modifications to it. I don't know if he's available to kind of talk about some of the things he's done.
He is. Yeah. Well, we did it. Actually, he's done. This is our third bus. The first bus we had was a school bus. Like a literal short bus. It was awesome, though. It was our first venture into making our own buses to, you know, to tour in. And the second bus we had was a shuttle bus that ran off vegetable oil, which is we loved, and we ran it into the ground. We put 350,000 miles on it, and we had to let her go. And then we just actually got a new one. About a month ago, we purchased one in Baltimore, Maryland, just an empty shuttle bus. And Tim has been doing some renovations. I'll let him get on real quick and tell you guys about it. So just hold on one second here.
Yeah, sure. No, not a problem at all. He's like, what am I talking about again? Which show is this? Hey,
where am I? Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, Tim, thanks for, you know, coming on the spot here, man. We were talking about you guys, you know, new shuttle bus, and I saw some of the updates modifications you had made on Twitter. Talk to us a little bit about some of the handiwork you've done, man.
Yeah, man, it's been a process. You know, we started off with, had to empty the whole bus from, all the seats and the wheelchair lift and stuff. And then I just started from the ground up. I put all hardwood floors in there. Kind of planned it as I went. We installed the full bathroom, kitchen, all leather sofas, like LED lighting, all like things we never had on our last bus, like cup holders and, you know, all the important stuff.
Right on. Well, it sounds like you guys are putting a lot of your own work into it, which is always good to see. And you guys have been doing that for a while, and I appreciate you, you know, stopping in and talking to us about it a little bit, man.
Oh, of course, brother. Good talking to you, man.
Right on, man. Take care, dude.
Later, dude.
That is Tim, guitar player for Blame Shift. Now, Jenny, are you back with us?
I'm here.
Wonderful. Hey, the new album, Secrets, you know, working, you know, just about out. I mean, you said, you know, before show, you don't have a release date. Is there any, can you give us a clue on what month we may be looking at here? Can you give us anything at all as far as the new album is concerned?
Well, It's been pushed back so many times that it was supposed to be an EP at first. It was going to be just six songs, and okay. Then we recorded those six songs last February actually, and then we decided that we were going to do a full length. We went back out in December and recorded another four. So and then, you know, we wanted to put it out as soon as possible, but we have some things in the works right now. We're about to sign with a really awesome, great management company, but I can't say it yet. We should be signing actually this week, and so we had to put things on halt a little bit for that. But once we get that rolling, we will be full force, you know, with the date and everything like that, and doing the pre-sales and the whole nine yards. But it looks like it's probably going to be June, July-ish.
Okay. All right. Well,
but
cool.
I don't have an exact date, unfortunately, yet, but it definitely will be this summer, and I'm just really excited for people to hear this. It's just definitely the next step for us, and you know, as far as songwriting and just songs, and I just am so excited for people to finally hear it because I'm very proud of it.
Very cool. Well, I'll put you on the spot again here, if you don't mind. When the new album comes out, whenever that may be, would you guys be interested in coming back and jamming some tunes and talking about it?
Of course. That's what we do. This is what we live for, of course.
Right on. Awesome. Well, Jenny, if people want to find out more about you, find out more about the band Blame Shift, how can they do so?
We're mainly using our Facebook these days. I guess, you know, MySpace is a dead breed, right? No one uses that anymore. Facebook.com/blameshift. And then I'm on there as well. Facebook.com/JennyBlameshift. Same thing with our Twitter /blameshift/JennyBlameshift. We're on Instagram @blameshift, YouTube and Reverb Nation. You just Google blame shift and will appear right in front of you.
Almost like those was the State Farm commercials. Like a good neighbor, blame shift is there.
Exactly. Yeah, it's easy to find us these days. Too easy.
Right on. All right. Well, hey, Jenny, I appreciate you taking the time out for us this evening. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and definitely keep in touch, man. I really enjoyed you having on the show tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. And we'll close tonight with the song One Chance. Anything we need to know about the song before we close out tonight?
This is actually one of my favorite songs that we've written. It's very personal to me. It's a story about, you know, things I've had to overcome as a person, as a singer, as a lead, you know, the lead of a band, just a personal struggle to just keep going and shoot for your ultimate goal and not never give up. And this is that song, and it's very important to me, and I say it every night when I perform it, and it's one of my favorite songs to sing because it's so dear to me. But I hope everyone enjoys it, and
All right, cool. Jenny, man, pleasure again, and we'll be in touch, and best of luck to you guys in the future, okay?
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. Our pleasure. This is One Chance, Blame Shift, here on Revelator. One Chance by Blame Shift here on Revelator. And thanks to Jenny Mann and Blame Shift for coming on the show tonight. If you want to find out more information, head on over to omnes.tv. That's omnes.tv. Click on Revelator episode 6. title to be named later. And moving on tonight, March Madness is over, and the winner is Louisville. Louisville. I guess it depends on what part of the country and how you want to say that. But I tell you what an outstanding game between Michigan and Louisville last night for the NCAA national title. You know what? There were some questionable calls late in that game, no doubt about it. But I thought overall the refs let the kids play, and that's what you want to see in an NCAA game. And letting them play and having it be a very physical game was 100% in favor of the Louisville Cardinals. The tempo was great. It was fast-paced. It was a well-played basketball game start to finish. Both teams shot the ball very well. Both teams played at their, I think, as good as you could expect these teams to play. I think it came down to coaching. Rick Pitino out-coached Michigan's bench. Michigan not fouling in the last 50-some-odd seconds when they were down four, not realizing they had not even in the penalty yet or in the bonus yet. Major flaw there by the Michigan coaching staff. And also the substitutions throughout the game, managing foul trouble, managing tempo, managing players' rest as well. Pitino wins check, all in favor of that. It was a master of using his players, using his bench, forcing tempo, the traps. Really, really did outcoach the Michigan coaching staff, without a doubt. Hands down, Rick Pitino. What a great day for him. I mean, he wins the national title with Louisville. Only the first ever coach to ever win two national titles to two different programs. Of course, he won one with Kentucky in the mid-90s. And also, Rick Pitino was inducted into the NBA, into the Naismith Hall of, Basketball Hall of Fame. His tenure includes 14 NCAA appearances, 10 Sweet 16 appearances. He registered 330-win seasons during his career. He coached 29 future NBA players, including Elvin Hayes, Clyde Drexler, Akeem Olajuwon, all current Hall of Famers, and two NCAA titles. Also being inducted into the Hall of Fame, one of the best guards of the modern era, in my opinion, that is Gary the Glove Payton. Trash talking to the max. I don't think they're going to find a better two-way guard in the NBA in the last 25 to 30 years than Gary Payton. You want to talk about two-way guard, nine-time all-defensive team, defensive player of the year, 95 and 96. He was number four all-time in steals in the NBA, number eight all-time in assists in the NBA, won an NBA title with the Miami Heat, two gold medals, 96 and 2000, and at Oregon State, he still holds all the record marks for points, assists, and steals. Gary Payton, well-deserved of the induction into the Basketball Hall of Fame. Also being inducted, former Nick great Bernard King. I'll tell you what, Bernard King was a heck of a player. I got to see him. I remember him as a kid playing. But for a guy, you know, 30 years ago to have the knee problems that he did and to come back and still play at a high level, I'm glad he was recognized for that because, you know, back in the day, you tore your ACL or something like that, you were done. You know what I mean? That's what happened to Bernard King. He technically should have been done and never came back and played. And his rehabilitation, be able to come back and have the career that he did. And I'm glad that the association that Basketball Hall of Fame noted that. Like, the guy still put up 25 a game through his career. That's unbelievable in the NBA. And also, Jerry Tarkanian is going to be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. The Tark had over 990 wins in his career. That's 81% winning percentage. It leads all universities. Now, obviously, he coached UNLV to Final Four appearances in 77, 87, 90, and 91. Won a championship in 1990 with that great Larry Johnson team. Had three different schools, led three different schools in the NCAA tournament, UNLV, Fresno State, and Long Beach State, including 21 pro season appearances, 14 NCAA tournaments, 13 Sweet 16s, 7 Elite 8s, 17 conference championships, and over four 30-plus win seasons. Tarkanian is also a four-time National Coach of the Year as well and recipient of the Roe Campanella Humanitarian Award and the Dream a Dream Foundation Inspiration Award winner, the only basketball coach ever to receive those awards as well. So congratulations to those gentlemen being inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. And now it is time for
This Week in Music.
April 8th, 1985, American songwriter Fred Coots died at the age of 87. He wrote, co-wrote Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And he also wrote Pat Boone. He wrote over 700 songs in his lifetime. April 9th, 1977, born on this day, Jared Way from My Chemical Romance. Happy birthday, Jared Way from My Chemical Romance.
And you're still stupid. You're just another day closer to the grave.
And of course, their band is no longer. They just broke up recently as well. April 10, 1962, the Beagles' former bass player, Stuart Sutcliffe, died. He was the original bassist for 18 months of the Beatles from January 1960 to June of 1961. He died of a brain hemorrhage at the age of 22. Unbelievable. 1982, Iron Maiden scored their first UK number one album with Number of the Beast. Now, check out this. 1985. On April 10th, Madonna kicked off her very first North American tour by playing at the Paramount Theater in Seattle, Washington. The opening act was the Beastie Boys for the Virgin Tour. You want to talk about one heck of a show. The Beastie Boys and Madonna, 1985. That had to be one heck of a tour right there. 1994, on this day, over 5,000 fans attended the U.S. Public Memorial Service of Kurt Cobain at Seattle Flag Pavilion. April 11, 1961, Bob Dylan played his very first live gig in New York City. And the opening act was John Lee Hooker. In 1978, born on this day, was Tom Thatcher, guitar player for Sum 41. April 12, 1995, 2 weeks away after her death, George W. Bush, then governor of Texas, declared Selena Day in Texas after the Mexican singer Selena was murdered at the age of 23 by the prison of her fan club, Yolanda Salvador, on the 31st. As well. So, yeah, that also happened in music history. Also, on this day in music history, Metallica filed suit against Napster, Yale University, and the University of Southern California and Indiana University for copyright infringement. That's when everybody realized that Lars really was a dick. April 13th, Elton John went number one on the U.S. singles with Benny and the Jets. Also, Paul McCartney, Band on the Run, went number one in the U.S. and also number one in the U.K. as well, and went on to sell over 6 million copies worldwide. In 1996, Rage Against the Machine made their appearance on NBC's Saturday Night Live. Their two-song performance was cut short to one song when the band attempted to hang an inverted American flag over their amplifiers. Man, I miss Rage Against the Machine. April 14th, which just happens to be my birthday, by the way, this coming Sunday, 1973's Led Zeppelin started a two-week run at number one and also in the UK with the album Houses of the Holy. So, yeah, Houses of the Holy came out on my birthday. How about that? Eat it. And also enjoying a birthday is, of course, not only myself, but born on this day, Loretta Lynn, 1935. Also born on this day, Ritchie Blackmore in 1945. And 1980, born on this day, Wynn Butler, lead vocalist and songwriter for Arcade Fire. And I want to thank again Jenny Mann and the band Blame Shift for coming on tonight. Next week, we have a very, very special guest. Michael DeWolf from Taproot will be stopping by. So definitely stick around for that next week. And a lot of other great guests down the pike. So definitely stay tuned. Ryan_unsigned. And hey, it seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so.
This was Episode 6, Blame Shift 2 Thumbs Up. For show notes or links to topics discussed on this episode of Revelator, or to experience previous episodes, head on over to omnes.tv, that's omnes.tv, and click on Revelator. Thanks for listening.